you know, beating the clock to opening day for that was a rush. We had news helicopters hovering, you know, waiting for us to light up the board.
Hello and welcome to the Daktronics Experience Podcast. I'm Justin Oxner. In this episode, Matt Anderson is joined by Adam Kaminsky, Control System Specialist for Daktronics, as he explains how the Daktronics service team helps customers beyond the equipment installation as they prepare for their first events with the new technology.
All right, we are here today with Adam Kaminsky. Adam, welcome and thank you for joining us today.
Well, thank you so much, Matt, for having me.
Yeah, maybe just to help our listeners a little bit, a little introduction of yourself, kind of what your role here is at Daktronics, maybe even just how long you've been here.
Sure. So this is my seventh year with DAC, and I come from Central Michigan University. Okay. That was my alma mater in Central Michigan. I majored in broadcast and cinematic arts, so I was always interested in the behind the scenes of video production, audio production, film, movies, that sort of thing. And so I did a lot of production work throughout school, news, sports, that kind of thing. And then worked for a minor league team in mid-Michigan, the Great Lakes Loons.
Oh, yeah.
A Daktronics customer. So worked on their production team, and that's really what actually led me to Daktronics. So when I graduated college, was looking for that first job, came across the Daktronics website, applied for an internship position, actually, and luckily was accepted and got a position with our creative services department, working with After Effects and some animation type work. And then transitioned into my current role as a control system specialist, or back then we were the training group for live events, and transitioned into that role within the same year. So about 7 months into the internship, transitioned to that role and have been here since then.
Awesome. So as your role as a control room specialist now, kind of how does that fit in? What exactly does a control system specialist do?
Sure, we do. We wear many hats when we're on site and even when we're not on site. We are primarily responsible for training our users on the control platforms of the system. So that's a lot of show control, Venus control suite. We are primarily on site during the install phase or shortly thereafter. We go to site, we work with the key operators who are going to be using the system to help get configuration, get things set up, get things flowing the way that they want to go in the control room, and just getting them comfortable on the equipment. And usually we're there to provide event support for the first few games, shortly thereafter, depending upon the contract and things of that nature. Aside from that, we also do a lot of side work as far as knowledge development. So working on our knowledge base and some of our social channels, like our YouTube, one of our YouTube channels, doing some other events here and there. Recently, we've had our NFL or our football user group back in Brookings, South Dakota for some conference events. So we assist with things like that, both in the live events and throughout the country.
Okay, so it's you said it may depend varying on the contract, but obviously there's a lot of work you guys do when a new system goes in. Do you see it? Does it kind of people slowly get it after a couple of years, but you're still involved in it after that? Maybe depending on the contract, but
absolutely. So, and especially now with our professional services, so our training group is one of the service. We fall under the service category of our company. So as a service, we provide not just the training, but a lot of integration and a lot of after sales things as well. So now more than ever, we find ourselves involved way past the point of sale. So if there's something that needs, the end user wants to rework or change or redo layouts or make the board different or do something on the control end, maybe integrate something different, updates and new features, that sort of thing, we become involved throughout those points as well.
Okay, and then if you think about the different levels of customers that we have here at Daktronics, you know, you mentioned even the Great Lakes Loons, a minor league team.
Mm-hmm.
What all type of customers or markets do you help out with, and specifically to you? Because I know we help out high schools and a lot of different other markets, but when it comes to your position as a control room specialist, are you everything between minor league and major league?
We do cover pretty much the full range between high school up to pro venues.
Okay.
And so primarily we're focused on college on up. So we have a high school department that focuses primarily on those users. That's not to say that we don't ever work with high schools, but we primarily focus on those larger, oftentimes more complex sites. So that you're talking your minor leagues, your college venues, and the pro venues as well.
Okay. And you help them out with new systems. It goes on for systems outside of that. But you guys, I believe, also help out if the venue is also hosting a major event, right, that's outside of just it's their normal season. All of a sudden they're hoping a championship event, tournament event. Sometimes you guys get asked to help out with that.
Right. So event services, that's one of the major products that we offer as well under that services category. When a user might just need an extra hand with assistance, especially with maybe sports that they don't typically host or special unique events to the venue, we can provide support for all sorts of things like that, whether it's just an extra hand in the control room or working on custom configurations for just that event or that sort of thing. So there's really a fair amount, a wide variety of what we may be involved with on a day-to-day.
Yeah, because it's never to say that you want an event to go wrong, but it's when it's a special event, a high-profile one, you maybe need a little more backing to help make sure that nothing does.
But, sure, yep.
So I imagine then, because you cover all these different markets, a lot of different places, I'm assuming you travel quite a bit as a part of this role?
I'm on the road a lot, yes. so roughly 40% of the year.
Okay.
So out of a calendar year, I'm on the road many days, many weeks. We do have our busy seasons and our less busy seasons. So football, really from August all the way through October, I would say is probably our peak year to year. Just mainly with football, getting going in that time frame, and then event supports that may follow there, especially on the weekends. And then shortly thereafter, you've got your arena season. So it's when basketball and hockey are then kind of follow that up right around the corner real quickly. So that tends to be our most busy time of the year. And then also in the spring, gearing up for baseball, spring sports, things of that nature. But again, we're busy year-round. We work on a lot of unique things during the less busy times, sports conferences, things like that. So it keeps us going all year round.
And you and the other control system specialists that we have around the country, you guys stay in contact quite a bit, right? So you guys are able to either troubleshoot things or ping ideas off each other.
Yeah, so we, even though we live throughout the country, we're really scattered geographically throughout the U.S., we keep in touch. We have tier meetings multiple times a week. We have those technical tools that we can use to bounce ideas off each other. So we have a platform online that it's almost like a social media for work, where everybody's on there and you can upload posts, whether it's text or images, video clips, things of that nature. We've actually taken to that a lot lately, is using that as our primary communication method. It's mobile, it's friendly, it's easy to access and check from wherever, even if you're not in front of your computer. So we keep in touch all the time. Obviously, we have communications that need to happen on a more regular basis, just to keep up to date on the many new features and things like that roll out.
I was going to say, because as soon as a customer gets a new installation, right, it's always, you know, the newest, the latest product. So the importance of you guys staying up to date with what we're doing back here, sending out to them, is very important. So the road has taken you many places, you said, and the road has taken you here to the cold tundra of Brookings, South Dakota here this week.
Yes. I'm not, it's not totally that different. Maybe a little bit more windy than it typically is in Michigan. And I think that's the kicker, is the wind
it
out
is.
Here.
That's what I always tell people. On the eastern side of the state is where the wind gets up. A calm day is around 15 miles an hour. But
you feel it too.
Yeah. But you've been back to corporate quite a few times, right? So you haven't...
Generally, yeah, on average, two to three times a year for various projects, and like I tell everybody, we're regional, but we don't necessarily stick to those regions. So when it comes to a training, we live in the region really just to be closer to customers.
Yep.
But due to the demand and due to how many of us there are and schedules and things like that, I may be based in the Great Lakes, but that doesn't by any means mean that I stay there. We travel all over the country and internationally too, for that matter. We have international accounts that we service.
Oh wow!
Overseas, Canada, and really anywhere.
So wherever you're needed. So have you traveled internationally at all? Have you gotten out of the Great Lakes and gone? Okay.
Yep. Overseas, I've probably made 4 or 5 trips over there, and sure we'll make a couple more here in the future. I think there's one on the calendar for a few weeks from now.
Nice. How are those trips going over there? Is it quite a bit different when you look at a control room? Maybe like, I don't know if it's just a stadium and arena designs are a little different when you travel internationally, but
it is. And one of the examples that I'm working with right now is Tottenham Hotspur.
Okay.
So this is European football over in London, and their renovation, their new building is, it's state of the art. It's beautiful. It's big. And that's one of the things that, you know, we're not quite used to that over here so much in the States. You know, we've got our American football and our arenas, but the way the venues work over there is a little bit different, and the way our systems are in place over there, it's been a unique challenge. We've had a lot of things to jump around and figure things out to get things working, but in the end, it all works out, and they put on a great show.
Yeah, because obviously you have different things, like different types of stats and those types of data feeds that you don't work
different
with so
stats,
much over here.
Different designs, too, of the system. I was actually just working on the Tottenham system recently here, and I tell people, so their design, a lot of times in our facilities, you've got your control room, and then you've got your rack room where all the equipment is housed, usually in a climate-controlled, generally a cold room, mm-hmm. To keep everything operating at optimal temperature. But then Tottenham, for example, they have 2 control rooms. They have literally a primary and a backup control room, and
they
are separated in the arena. They're nowhere close to each other. In the event of a emergency or whatever, they could actually run the entire building from that auxiliary control room, and they have full capability. All the racks, everything has full redundancy.
It's all mimicked from that main room.
And yep. Absolutely.
So is there a backup staff waiting in there? Or is the staff from the other control room just take off running over to that one?
I'm not sure how that one will work, but
everyone has to mimic their movements in both control rooms.
Yep.
So we've had we've talked with Mark Eisenstadt here on the podcast a while back, and you know, he mentions closely about app engineers, and he helps out with them. How does a control room specialist interact with an app engineer? Like, how do you guys complement each other?
Well, absolutely. We talk really when we're going into a project. It's a little bit of planning. When we get a project that's coming our way, usually the app engineers are involved really early in the process, and that's one of the necessities to be able to create the perfect system and create everything technically in the system, make it work. And then we generally come in on the later end of the project. So we generally engage in meetings with our app engineer team. So when we start on a project, we'll kind of get caught up to speed with them, find out what's going on, all the integrations, anything that may be a part of the training that's going to impact how we train, how we set up the system. Because a lot of our job, too, has to do with configuration and setup. So it's not just come in there and start pointing to show control buttons and just start, here's how to make one.
Yeah.
There's generally a little bit of, or in some cases, a lot of configuration and prepping the system and getting things set up so that the user can achieve their goals.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of conversations with app engineers, with our creative services teams when they're involved, with the end user themselves, with the project team, our project managers. So really it starts with that communication to get on the same page and formulate that plan. That kind of rolls into a training plan as to what we're going to have to work on as far as a training perspective, and then just rolling it out from there when we get on site. Getting in, sometimes it's different teams that need to be trained, sometimes mm-hmm. different crews. You might have game day crews and then non-game day crews or other personnel differences within a venue or within that are operating a system. So just planning that out and working on that with our project teams here internally.
I can imagine the working with different people in a control room too. That's probably got to be a lot of, I wouldn't know if I'd call it retraining, but in colleges, right, you have, we've talked with producers before that students do a lot of the work in there when it comes to like instant replay, running the camera, running cable. So do you have to worry about that when you do college events? Is, I was just here last year, but there's a whole different crew here this year. I got to explain it? Or
sometimes, but it's really unique working with students because it's great to see them eager to work and eager to get their hands on this sort of technology. And it's great that they're able to, whether you're attending a school that might have a program for that, or even if they're not, working with student workers is really one of the great things to be able to show them, you know, what's out there, what they're using, and how that translates into maybe that next level. And that's one of the big things now more than ever with high schools, with high schools getting video boards. That's just a trend now. And it's amazing to see what some high schools have as far as their production facilities, their video boards, their sports facilities. There's a lot of money put into that sort of thing. And it's great to be able to work with those students. And it's funny because it kind of opens up that that pipeline and that future of if they want to maybe go to college for this sort of thing. Because the unique thing about our systems is that the show control platform and a lot of this technology that we're putting in the high schools is the same technology that runs college systems and pro venues and things like that. So when a student learns the DAC system at the high school level, they have quite a step up when it comes to being involved, whether it's an internship, whether it's a game day job, whether it's a career in the media production and the venue operation side of things. So it's really great to be able to work on all levels like that, from the high school on to the pros.
And when I started at DAC about 10 to 12 years ago, it was usually only the big, I'd say this, the football high school stadiums in Texas are the ones that got video boards. But yeah, to your point, there's a lot of basketball video boards going in high school and sports of all sizes. So, so of all the different events you've had to help with now, I mean, you talked about you've gone internationally to help with some different ones. You've helped out minor league, college, professional. What are your favorite types of events that you like to work? Is there a sport you like to do more than the others, or a level of sport?
You know, we get to work with a variety. Love doing baseball sites.
Okay.
Baseball's awesome. The last couple of years, I've worked, had a hand in a lot of arena venues. So that's just kind of the way the cards fell there. Just so the last 3 years, let's see, worked with Little Caesars Arena.
Oh, yeah.
In Detroit.
Yep.
Milwaukee Bucks recently here in
the Fiserv Forum.
Forum. And in Minneapolis, Timberwolves.
Okay.
The renovation with the Target Center.
Awesome.
So I've done a lot of arena stuff. It's always great to work baseball, just being in that atmosphere. That summertime sport, and seeing the different types of ballparks out there, you know, and everything from Milwaukee and, you know, ballparks, you know, maybe inside to some of the outdoor venues. So it's really hard to pick a favorite, you know, everything, you know, hockey, you know, we do a lot of track setups at the high school level and the college level. It's really hard to pick a favorite. I would say overall, probably enjoy working on baseball a lot.
Just so stem back to your time with the Loons kind of then too,
bit,
or does it?
A little bit. Yeah. Baseball, you know, it's also some of the more complex systems. And you know, that's not to say that other systems aren't that complex, but when you talk the baseball stats, the systems there, some of the information they can pull is really insane. And to make all that work and to place that data on any board in our system and integrate all that is really makes it a fun challenge.
Awesome. Yeah, when looking around outside now and seeing all the snow out here, even just talking about baseball and being at a baseball game sounds awesome to me right now. So
I've already been to one this year, actually.
Have you? Spring training, Doug?
No, Cal Poly Southern California. However, it wasn't 80 and sunny, I will put it that way. it was definitely a glove weather, and they had their first game with the video board a few weeks back, and it was definitely a bundle-up type of night, and you know, move closer to the space heater and drink hot coffee.
Yeah. What was the temperature when you arrived in Brookings this week? Do you remember? A little different than that?
It was hovering around zero. So it was in the zero or in the low positives. So that's a good thing.
I think we hit 20 degrees today and it's going to feel like spring out there.
Yep,
I think for
feels
us
feels like
right
a
now,
heat wave.
So, okay. We talked about the different types of events. Maybe, is there a certain moment, and it can be an event you were at that you were helping out with. Is there one moment that sticks out in your mind when you think back over all your travels and the different facilities that you've helped out with?
I've had a great time at a lot of the sites I've worked with and the people I've gotten to work with, the production crews I've gotten to know over the last 7 years. One of them that comes to mind, Wrigley Field, Chicago Cubs.
Okay.
That was a venue where there was very little technology in the ballpark. It's a historic ballpark.
Mm-hmm.
And the video boards being installed there was a huge deal to the Chicago Cubs community. So it's a very high profile
yep.
site for us. And it was a thrill. It was a last minute rush. Weather played a huge part in that install. Not so much in the control room, but for the guys out there hanging the displays and getting things all wired up outside. A lot of delays due to that Chicago winter weather. And so just, beating the clock to opening day for that was a rush. We had news helicopters hovering, waiting for us to light up the board for the first time. It was a thrill. It was an excitement, and I think that's been one of the big ones that I've enjoyed. A fun challenge.
That's good. Did they have did you do any kind of countdown to it being played on? Sometimes I've seen people unveil their new displays in different ways.
There are different ways, and I've seen everything from making a huge production out of it and inviting the VPs in and inviting
yeah.
everybody in and. Doing a formal reveal where they're in the suite or they're on the playing surface or whatever the case may be. Maybe they even create a special video or a special piece of content, a special countdown.
A big remote control. I've seen that before.
We've
someone
seen
staying on the field and hitting it.
Yep. There's that, but I've also seen others where, our engineers and our field techs that are out there just, okay, we're going to light it up, plug it in, and whatever image we happen to have. Sometimes it occurs during training. Sometimes it occurs mm-hmm. late at night after everybody's gone.
Yep.
So I've seen both extremes.
I've definitely seen monitoring our social media feeds is definitely when there's a new stadium or project going in and we say they're running test patterns on it and it's done at night. The amount of people, taking videos and pictures of that happening, thinking a UFO just landed in the stadium sometimes they say, but... Are you there on site doing test patterns and stuff too? Not say you're the one to blame for all these types of things.
No,
but.
So test patterns are a huge part of lighting the display up for the first time because it allows our techs to see the seams and the visual inconsistencies.
Mm-hmm.
So where things need to be tightened, where things need to be adjusted and fine tuned on the display. So they play a key role. It's funny because we are generally also working at the same time to start pushing content. So it's. Sometimes it's a little bit of a battle,
mm-hmm.
the techs outside need the test patterns, but we need to see content.
Especially you're getting closer to that opening day or that first event,
right,
probably.
Right, so sometimes it's just a matter of meeting in the middle and kind of signing up, okay, you'll take morning, I'll take afternoon or something like that.
There you go. All right, so we talked a lot about the different things you help out with the control specialist. If one of our listeners right now, whether it is college, minor league, or professional sports, was interested in learning more about that, I'm wondering if we can help them out. What's a good way for them to get in contact with you guys?
So we have a professional services website that explains some of the great benefits that our professional services team offers. That would definitely be probably the number one starting point. Dropping an email to professionalservices@daktronics.com. All of our service administrators monitor that and will respond to that. With any questions, any requests, any needs that any of our users have, so whether it's additional training or event support or even sometimes just to bounce ideas off.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the big things about working with a company that's been able to work with so many great venues and so many things and having so many resources, the creative team and the app engineering team, to figure out, maybe we want to do this, but, what would it take or what sort of equipment or what sort of things would need to be implemented in order to pull this off? And all of that can be answered with just either checking out that website on our daktronics.com webpage or just dropping an email. Introduce yourself and one of our team members will respond.
Cool. All right. Well, thanks for taking time out of your day here today, Adam, to come up here and join us for a podcast episode. So good luck on your future endeavors this year and take care.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Daktronics Experience podcast. For more information, visit www.daktronics.com.